Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Notice this verse, Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. Psalm 139, verse 14 is an amazing verse about the creative mastery of God the Father and Christ the Son. They made human beings fearfully and wonderfully. Now, what were they fearful of? Well, nothing really. It's just a matter of making our minds and bodies to operate according to certain laws. They do not ever compromise with their law. And so their creation has to operate by law. Think of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman ever created. Perfect, sinless minds, perfect, healthy bodies. Fearfully made. Fearful because it was in perfect accordance with God's law. Human beings were a perfect creation. Any fault in us is our own fault. Our sins are what cause our minds to break down, our bodies to break down. But the way we were created was fearful and wonderful. The mind and body of a human being is capable of so much. Humans are able to send rockets into outer space. We're able to do all kinds of marvelous works because of our mind power. God has made us to be able to think and reason and make decisions just like Him, if we so choose. And our bodies have a lot of power to enact what our minds are telling us to do. It is a fearful and wonderful creation. Notice in Genesis chapter 1, going back to the very first commands from God to Adam and Eve, or to Adam here in Genesis 1, verse 28. This is God's command. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God gave man control over the earth, and God commanded humans to multiply, to get married, to raise strong families, to have dominion over all living creatures on the earth. That is our weighty responsibility. And continuing in Genesis chapter 2, notice verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Well, we humans were fearfully and wonderfully made. We are capable of so much because of our mind power and our healthy, strong, capable bodies. And God has given us a lot of responsibilities as such. And then God even says, a man and wife shouldn't have any shame around each other. They are practically one human being, a team working together. There shouldn't be any shame. There should be standards. There should be dignity. There should be proper conduct, but there should not be shame in nakedness between man and wife. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, the late theologian and educator, founder of the Worldwide Church of God, wrote a landmark book, a life-changing book titled The Missing Dimension in Sex. And this book is available to you for free at thetrumpet.com, The Missing Dimension in Sex. And no matter how well you think you know God's thinking on the subject of sex or of the creation of human beings and what we're meant to do, The Missing Dimension in Sex will really open your mind. It will really impart God's thinking into your mind. It's really a wonderful study. And notice here what Mr. Armstrong writes on page 12. It says, God gave Adam and Eve considerable basic instruction, sufficient for their needs for the moment. Page 13. It says they were fully instructed in the way to live that would cause every good effect, peace, happiness, prosperity, comforts, interesting life, abundant well-being. There is a way to happiness, the happiness that we all seek. And yet how many people recklessly abuse their minds and bodies, destroying their minds with perverted entertainment, so-called, and all kinds of drugs and addictions, wrecking their bodies by breaking the health laws, not getting proper rest, not drinking enough water, not exercising, not eating healthy. How often do we just absolutely trash our minds and bodies until we realize the negative effects that we have brought upon ourselves and then finally come to our senses and start trying to do things better? So many people have to reach the depths of despair before they start really using their mind and their body in a better way. Notice here, page 13, Mr. Armstrong says, God told Adam that he was mortal and could die. He told him that he had been formed of matter from the earth. And also, dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. That's Genesis 3 and verse 19. God explained to Adam that he was mortal. He was flesh and blood from the dust and would go back to the dust upon death. We do not have an immortal soul. Now, this life is not everything. This life, as Mr. Armstrong described it, is a physiochemical existence. There is a much greater spirit life, an eternal life in God's family awaiting us, should we choose to take it. But this physical life is very important too. And remember, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, verse 14. A mind with power to create and design, to plan, to make right decisions. A body capable of really, truly incredible feats of athleticism, of music, of art, of creation. God meant for us to be creators like him. And we have just the fact that we have hands with opposable thumbs really makes a big difference in what we're able to do. This physical life, we have really received just truly superlative gifts, the mind, the body, to be able to look like God, to be able to think like God and act like God, as Genesis 1 tells us, we have all the potential to become God. But it's all about how we use our minds and bodies today. Are we submitting to God? Is our mind locked on the spiritual law, God's Ten Commandments? Is our physical body in tune with the physical law, the health laws that lead to radiant health and high energy and avoidance of sickness and disease? Are we practicing good hygiene? Are we keeping the loving law of quarantine when we do get sick so that we do not get other people sick? We don't want to spread contagious disease because that is not God's love. There are a number of physical laws that will boost our health and the health of those around us. But we are compelled to make a choice. Adam and Eve had to make a choice. How would they use their mind and body? Would they glorify God in every detail? Would they love each other and eliminate satanic shame in their relationship? Would they have a pure mentality toward sex, for example? Would they understand the purpose of it? To be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And also to strengthen the love bond between husband and wife and make them one team with one goal, to be part of God's family. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury has spoken often about the missing dimension in sex on the Key of David program. And I'll always remember one time the way that he described the approach towards sex in the world. And he said, people are out there like alley cats, just prowling around for the most debased, degrading forms of sex. The satanic version depicted in pornography and in so much of our so-called entertainment today, in the hookup culture all around us, where sex is treated as nothing more than a recreational activity. Sex means something. And yet, as this title of the book says, there is a missing dimension in sex. An aspect to sex that people just do not understand. If any of us are struggling with keeping the right kind of pure mentality toward this subject, this book provides the perspective that we should have. This book is a cleanser of the mind, which can then help us cleanse the body. When we really start to understand this subject the way that God intended, it will really motivate us to come out of the world. We cannot be in love with the world and swayed by the world's mentality toward sex. 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You see here in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, the Apostle John is repeatedly denouncing lust, worldly thinking, a perverted mentality. towards sex or anything else. We can lust for money or fame or status. There's plenty of things to lust over, but if we're being honest, probably the most prevalent object of lust is sex. And John says, look, this is a training ground for the next life. All of these physical things around us will fade away. And the only thing that matters is the character that we allowed God to build in us during this life in preparation for spirit life, God life, being born as sons into his family. That'll be a time of such glorious bliss that we won't even hardly remember some of the suffering that we had to go through as human beings. Maybe the times that we did misuse our mind or body and suffer the consequences of sin. Those trials and tribulations will be as nothing when we are in the God family. But we have to choose today. Use the mind right. Use the body right. Obey God's spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. Obey God's physical law, the health laws that give us radiant health. Use the mind and body properly in relation to sex. It's between one man and one woman, only in marriage. No other lustful forms thereof. And it really is a meaningful institution. It's not supposed to be degraded. It's not supposed to be some casual activity. It really matters to God how we approach this subject. Remember, the mind and body, these glorious gifts from God. And God is watching every day to see how we use them. We have a choice every day between the tree of life and the tree of death. We need God to purify our minds. We can cry out to him for help with that. And when we put God first in prayer, when we dig into our Bibles and fill our minds with God's mind through Bible study, there won't be any room left in the mind for lust, and we'll be equipped to respond to any temptation that might come up with God's help. It's about what we fill our minds with. We have to listen to God and use the mind and body properly. Romans 8 verse 7 says, the carnal mind is hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, this is what we're battling every day. Romans 8 verse 7. But it leads to true freedom, breaking free of worldliness and lust, and understanding how God expects us to use our mind and body that is fearfully and wonderfully made. That is freedom. And we can build a strong spiritual house on this foundation, this missing dimension in sex. We can understand our purpose for existing. God created us to become spirit-born members of his family. And worldly lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, as it talks about in 1 John 2, that is not contributing to our purpose. Page 20 of The Missing Dimension in Sex says, the Bible is our maker's instruction manual, which he has sent along with the product of his making, humanity. God has given us an instruction manual. He has explained in great detail in the Bible how to use our minds and bodies. We have a lot of material available to you at thetrumpet.com. Books and booklets that will build on that biblical foundation and expound on what the Bible says and really help us to follow the instructions laid out for us in the Bible. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God is watching very closely to see if we will value our minds and bodies the way that he does and use them the way that he commands. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.